Okay, we already did the roll call and the Pledge of Allegiance for the organizational meeting, so we can go right into the
public comment.
Public comment.
Do you have any comments from the audience?
I'd like to make a couple of comments.
Sure, go right ahead.
My name is Shabazz Jackson. I'm a member of the Recycling Oversight Committee and a resident of the proud town of Clivendale.
Yay, Clivendale. Isn't that town of Lloyd?
No, Plattekill.
Oh, Plattekill,
okay.
The
yes,
village,
we're a double wave.
The village of Clivendale. Well, I'd like to start out with thing I brought up at the last meeting about my application for the board. For new members, I made application last year and was shifted over to the Recycling Oversight Committee, which I'm very happy to be a member of. And then I got a prompt from, I think from a computer, that asked me to apply again for this year, for 2019, which we did make an application, and there was no record of that application. I spoke here, you said that you don't receive those applications, and then I spoke to Fawn Tantillo, and she said she never received any application. And I'm just wondering, from what I understand, there weren't any other applications for this committee for 2019. And I'm just wondering if the system failed, at least it did fail in my case, and I'm just wondering if that is the reason why there were no additional applications.
Shabazz, first of all, Shabazz, right. We don't get the applications.
I know that. I know that. So what I'm wondering if, what would be the best way to check the system? And, you know, I've spoken with Fawn, and now I'm speaking with you, and I'm asking you what you think. Because it is members, you know, membership applications for this board.
Well, the only thing I could tell you is that there, to my knowledge, there were two letters sent out, which are considered applications, one by Mr. Landy and one by Dr. Ben Hoffner, and they go to the legislature. That's all I can tell you about it, because I don't know any more than that. Applications go to the legislature.
Mr. Chairman,
we applied online.
Yeah, I applied
that's
online.
That's what you did, too. Mm-hmm.
But somehow you didn't get there.
Mr. Chairman, we have a legislator right here who might answer this question.
Yeah.
Mena Joe.
There was a mix-up. Part of the mix-up at the legislature was the person who keeps track of those left, and there was a gap. And so at Energy and Environment, we had two applications. I had asked that any applications be made available for the Energy and Environment meeting, and in fact, there was a mix-up. So I, at the meeting of the legislature, asked that it be referred back to committee so we could, there actually were eight applications, and so that we could review all eight, interview people, and then, as we had in the past, and then make a decision. By then, I believe Fawn told me that you had withdrawn your application. But I think there were seven others. I have copies of them if anybody wants to see them. But the legislature decided to move forward with the two candidates that were approved by Energy and Environment. But there was a glitch, and the Energy and Environment Committee is pretty concerned, and we're going to try to put assurances moving forward that that doesn't happen. That people get notified of the receipt of their application and that well in advance of a committee meeting, the committee knows which applications have been filed. There was also a glitch in the IT system that took some investigating to get to the bottom of. There were, you know, other people. One person is a former recycling coordinator from Platicill and so forth. So there were other applications that the committee was not aware of when Energy and Environment met and moved the recommendations to the floor. I thought we should go back and review everything, and the legislature did not vote to refer back to committee, and so we are here now. We acknowledge there is a problem. Fawn apologized profusely to me. It wasn't, you know, any one person's fault. It was circumstantial, combination of IT problems and also a change in personnel. And the other thing that Energy and Environment wants to ensure is that when these positions are listed, that a closure date before the meeting be set, so that if somebody applies after the closure date, we don't just keep getting applications, that there'd be a deadline. So that's what happened, to the best of my knowledge. I chair that committee, and the decision to whether or not to refer back to committee was made by the legislature as a whole. I hope that clarifies that.
Sounds good. Sounds very good.
I need a drink of water.
The second point, if I might continue, is at the last ROC meeting, we had a... what I really am asking is for the ROC to have time on the agenda at this meeting to discuss some of the things we have coming up. And there's basically two things. The comments that I made on the waste plan and the zero waste resolution that was passed at the end of last year. And the zero waste resolution calls for the RLC to be responsible for certain things, and those things are tied in to the Resource Recovery Agency. And you know, I made a set of comments for the plan, and as I understand in reading the memos, that the plan, I know it's probably coming up on the agenda, but the plan has been the submittal of the plan has been delayed to develop the response to all of the different comments. So what I'm thinking is that our ROC meetings are they're at 5 o'clock, and it's very difficult for example Charlie to come in and with the idea of talking about the comments during that meeting. And, you know, if it's not on the agenda, people aren't prepared, and, you know, people want to get home to their dinner. So if I thought that we could have discussions here, possibly formal presentations, then it would be at a time that where people can spend the time discussing it, and it would have a result that might be more efficient.
What is ROC?
It's the Recycling Oversight Committee.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a county committee, so
Maybe the committee would change their hours so that it would have more people, if that's what you're looking for.
No, I'm looking to address the parts of that pertain to this committee that is carrying over to the RLC committee. So I'm looking for an opportunity to be on the agenda so I can answer questions about the comments that I made, and I can make formal presentation of the ideas that I have for the future.
Okay.
That sounds good, because we need to know what you're up to. Mm-hmm. And we don't.
Other than submitting written comment, I think that I would be in a position to back up what I have written and answer questions of that. But I don't want to do it during this portion of the meeting, because this is the public portion of the meeting, and whoever comes in here wanting to make any kind of comment, they're stuck, while we discuss these things, as we are doing now.
Well, I could see you could have a representative from the committee come to our board meetings and give a presentation.
I am going to.
Okay. Well, you've just answered your own question then. If you're going to come to our public meetings and give us a report about the recycling, the oversight committee then.
Do you think it would be worthwhile putting that on the agenda?
As a regular slot on the agenda, as needed.
Well, I wouldn't have a hard time having you submit every month to our meeting and giving us a report about the oversight committee.
Okay.
If you have the time and you want to make yourself available to come and do that.
Okay.
It would make us more informed. We'd be more informative about what's going on in your particular committee.
Okay. Then what I would also like to do is, I guess, have the topic so that we're all prepared. And, for example, we would start with the comments, because As I talk to people about it, I realize that it's something that needs more explanation. And so my vision of it is to submit, and say in the next week, what I would be discussing.
In March, at the next meeting.
At the fourth Monday in March.
Okay.
So that you could see it when you get the minutes or the agenda, and be prepared.
But I think we would limit you to a certain amount of time. We're not going to give you an hour to come in here and give a report about the oversight.
Let's just say 15 minutes.
You want to be on the agenda. You want to be a part of the board meeting, is what you're saying.
Yeah, correct. Fit.
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
I mean, you could come and give them. I don't know if.
Well, you know what?
You're talking about recycling.
With this small group, it's really semantics. It's just being able to make everyone aware, so they can be prepared to discuss what I'm coming here to discuss. Or else, I come here and.
You should give us a report of what you're doing in your committee.
You don't know
the
what
discussion
I'm talking about.
Should be
yeah.
in
and
your
you're not
committee, not here.
To discuss it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you, sir, is that your discussions should be in your committee, and you could come and tell us what's going on in your recycling committee. Is that what you're proposing?
Yeah.
That's part of it, but the other part of it is I made comments on the recycling plan.
The solid waste management plan.
Right, the solid waste management plan. And I would like to start out with those comments And from what I understand from Mr. Landy, that there's confusion as to what I'm actually saying in those comments. So I would like to get those clarified first, and then kind of work into how we're going to proceed with the resolution.
But dealing with recycling. I mean, you want to come in here and rediscuss the plan that we're going to submit to DEC?
Not rediscuss it. Right? Discuss it. Because I haven't discussed it. I submitted plans, never got any kind of feedback, and see in a memo that the plans have not been submitted, or hadn't at that time been submitted to the DEC because of the comments.
Okay, but now they have been. The comments have been submitted to DEC. And now we're waiting for DEC to come back with a product so that we can review it.
Mr. Chairman, Chavez's comments were clearly stated in the LSWMP plan.
Right, DEC product.
And they were answered by Mark Swiker in red. And I think I told you that at the last meeting. I have it in my hand, all of your comments that you presented to the plan. But
I don't have it.
Well, I don't know why you didn't get it, because clearly it was addressed to you.
No, I think all that stayed in our hands. And we never discussed whether we would make it public or not. But it occurred to me that you could foil for them.
I'm here at this meeting. I don't need to foil for you.
Just ask him, we should hand it to you. Yeah. I think is what the problem is.
I have them here. So there was no secret.
So that's I'm not saying there was a secret. I'm just saying that there was
a dropping of the ball?
No. I think what really I'm asking for is to move from this section of the meeting to a place on the agenda and be able to prepare you all as the board as to what the discussion is going to be.
So you'd be like a sitting board member or
somebody? No, because the board members vote on what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, other than voting, but you want to be on here with your own slot and your own agenda, right?
Yeah, I can be on the agenda so that I don't have to do this part of it in the public.
Well, let me stop right there. We have a representative
on
the board meeting.
On the committee.
Mr. Landy.
Yeah, is on the committee.
So he should know everything that's going on there.
So maybe what we need to have is Charlie, you need to be on the and reporting back to us on a regular basis.
Yeah, you go to the meetings.
I go to the meetings, absolutely.
He was actually just reinstated.
I'm sorry.
I said you were just reinstated.
Yeah, as a voting member.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a voting member.
As a voting member of the committee?
Yes.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the committee chair, who just...
But she's right here.
I thought you left. Anyway, if you want copies of your comments and Mark Schweiker's answers, I can make them up here right now for you.
Yeah, please do that so that Shabazz has that information. I mean, I think this is something that, personally, I think this is something you need to resolve in your committee.
Hey, Brenna, could you make copies for Charlie?
Your committee wants to do coming to our board meetings. Well, if you want to do a report, that's fine. I mean, right. I don't have a problem with that if that's what your committee, but I don't think, I think it should come from your committee through your chair.
Just connect and not, from here.
Well, Laura and I have discussed this, and she asked me to...
I mean, I thought I was cutting it off.
To lead it at this meeting right now. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
But she is right here.
Yeah, that's fine.
Right, so...
But I think that's something you need to resolve in your committee.
No, we have resolved.
So convenient.
Oh, you have? We have a okay. Committee. And the committee has appointed you to be the spokesman to come to our board meetings?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So Laura, I don't know if she's prepared to represent that now or wants to represent that in writing to you. But, you know, we have a board meeting coming up early next month.
Okay.
And, you know, we've been... I guess resolve that through the
through your committee.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
I was going to put that for the drink.
All right,
Shabazz, I thought you got those answers from Mark's.
I did get one marked up in red, but after that, we made and then you know parts of it were in the second draft. Of my comments were included in the second draft.
I didn't know there was a second draft. The one I referred to was the primary draft.
No, there was a second draft which was marked up in red.
Mr. Chairman, you ready? We got to get going.
I asked how the
Charlie
decision was made.
Yeah. Okay. We got to proceed. Let's go.
Okay.
She's making a copy for you now of what I had. The only thing that I had, Shabazz, and I apologize, I thought you had it.
All right, let's move on because we have the agenda.
Okay.
All right.
And Laura.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, going to comments from the chair. Our main emphasis this year is going to try to find a site for a landfill. We need to really move ahead on that. We sort of tried to do the regionalization. We looked at a site in the county of Greene County. I don't think that regionalization will come to any kind of fruition in the near future. So we really need to start really putting our emphasis this year on signing a landfill. So having said that, we're going to be very proactive in looking for sites, and we plan to meet with the Supervisors Association and talk to that association, and also we're going to let people know that we are looking to really put the emphasis.
It should be noted, Mr. Chairman, that the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature, in his State of the County address last week, fully lays out the need for a landfill. Okay, and is encouraged to do something before it becomes a crisis and Seneca Meadows shuts down. We should have something up and running.
Or at least citing and working.
Exactly, but I think that should be part of your presentation, honestly.
Right. Yes. Exactly. For the board's information, when they cited at Oneida Herkimer, it took them 10 years to get decided and start construction on the landfill up there. So it's a very lengthy process, trying to get DEC approval, finding a site, trying to sell it to a community, etc. So we really need to move ahead and really put emphasis on that. And that's what we're going to really work on this year, is finding a suitable location. And hopefully, we'll have some success. All right, approval of the minutes. You all have copies of the minutes. Entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
Both sets at the same time? Okay.
You did. Okay, go ahead.
And it's very simple. You all have a copy of it. I just want to call to everyone's attention that on March 3rd, we're doing a zero waste presentation. We do the bank. Is doing Beyond Plastic, and that's at SUNY New Falls, and different people here have put together a PowerPoint presentation, and we're going to cover zero waste start to finish. It'll be preceded by a really amazing tour of the Peregrine Dining Hall, which serves six dormitories on the campus and literally does zero waste in a dining hall setting. It's quite amazing. Then the last section is that some of the students at SUNY have also been working on plastics research will be doing presentations. So it basically starts at 3, 4 for zero waste, 5 for Judith A, and 6 for the student presentation. I'm just going to call it to everyone's attention because it's been a long time in coming, and then we had a postponement and so forth. But I think it's going to be very worthwhile.
Are they going to talk about food waste also with that? And how they process it at SUNY New Paltz?
Yes. They are in the dining halls. Everything is either reusable or compostable.
Right.
They also have smaller plates so that people don't pile up a large plate and then not be able to eat it all. But then you go back for seconds and thirds. Right. But it's sort of a psychological thing to prevent food waste. And then literally, I mean, they don't have little things wrapped in plastic or disposable. Everything is reusable. Yeah. And they even for takeout, they have reusable takeout containers. And the student can then just rinse it out, bring it back, it gets sterilized. And there's always a sterilized supply of reusable containers. And I was there 1 week into the semester, and everything was running smoothly. And you went out in the back and looked in the in the toters that they collect the food waste for composting, and it was perfect. Yeah.
So Fred, I asked if you have one of these.
Yeah.
You do, it's in your pile.
It's in the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in your packet.
But if you don't have it.
So that's what she.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So you should show up.
It's on a Tuesday. Okay.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
I didn't catch you voted on the minutes.
I don't think we got there.
After that.
Yeah.
We were about to.
Okay. Well, but I have one comment about you, the chair's comments. Can we also add into our goals for landfill site is also moving towards a zero waste? That should be one of our goals, too, for this committee.
Once we find a site, we'll put a lot of things in it. Right. I agree with you 100%.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Then, okay. Now we can move to the minutes, please.
Okay. So I entertain a motion for the minutes.
Moved.
Made by Joanne, seconded by Charlie. Right. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried unanimously.
Thank you.
Okay. Communications. Our next meeting will be on March the 23rd at 12 noon here in the conference room. Okay. Executive Director.
Yes, sir. Okay, Chairman. All right. We had targeted 9,121 tons for the month of January for MSW. We brought in 10,445 for business of 1324 to good. So we're starting the year off okay. Sludge, Tim DeGraff nailed it. Getting closer than that. 277.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty good budget in there. Any questions on that? No? Hey. Over the recycling tonnage report. All right, you see January last year for Coburnville, we did 6209. This year we did 106 for a significant increase. Glass, we did 53 last, almost 54. This year we did 58, it's pretty close. Mm-hmm. Mixed news, we're at 82 last year, and this year we're at 95. City Kings and Mix, you'll see we're at 97. Last year we didn't have anything there. With single stream, because we got rid of single stream at that point, mm-hmm. which correlates also to the commingle. That's why you see a difference there. The OCC, the cardboard, we're at 160 last year. We're up to 183. And one of my favorite numbers to look at is I always like to look at the food waste. We were at 264 last year. We're up to 530, so that's good news there. Any questions?
Yeah, we're up right across the board.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're pretty
the
much
city, the city, the mix.
Yeah. So what was the result of the meeting?
Yeah, we had a very good meeting with Julie Noble and Ed Morgan. Charlie and I met with them a couple of weeks ago.
Thank you.
About switching over, and they're switching over their commercial. The residential is still getting we're still bringing in residential. You know, Charlie, I talked to him, the commercial was okay, because that's where the bulk of the cardboard is. Although the residential seems to have more cardboard than we anticipated. Did we find anything more about that?
I'm working on it.
Is it cyclical, like after, you know, the holidays?
No, it's consistent. No? So,
thank you, Amazon.
Yeah. we get a lot of residential news, and this seems to be a little bit more heftier as far as cardboard and their residential news, so not quite sure why.
Okay. Yeah.
Something we're looking into, but I'm not sure why. Okay.
But we're still shipping to Republic at a cost. What are they charging us right now per ton?
So Republic is $90 a ton right now for the month of February. We did ship, which Tim will go through when he talks about the MRF and stuff, kind of treasure the party. We did ship to Republic at 102, January.
We have the graphs, this you'll see them.
So currently it's 90, so we're looking into other avenues fiber's difficult, it really is. So we're looking into other avenues, which we'll report on the next board meeting what we're doing, so we have some positive things lined up.
I just want to alert the board, that's a cost to the agency.
It still will be a negative number.
Per ton. So we're paying $102 per ton to ship it out.
Mr. Chairman, in my mind, I don't have straight what happened here. Because when the city came to an end of its single stream that they were sending to us, they were paying us, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of $80 a ton for the single stream.
$115.
Huh?
Yeah, 115.
Went up. 115. Yeah. And then when we thought they stopped, they simply shifted to hard mix. And they called the single stream recycling something different, hard mix, and they stopped paying us for it.
The single stream, though, it has glass in it, it has commingle in it, it's a completely different product. A hard mix has paper and cardboard.
Yeah, but why did the payments stop? Because
that's what the board authorized. I mean, if the board wants us to charge, we can do that.
They were
But we can't. The staff can't do that without approval from the board.
Tim, I understand that. My question is, there was a breakdown in the payments. The city was paying us for a single stream, and then supposedly stopped single stream, but didn't. Just change the name to hard mix.
No.
Well, it's completely that's different. And you know, in essence, that's what happened.
No.
The payments stopped, and the name was changed, and the payments stopped, and so now we're paying $109 a ton. Is that what you said?
It was 102 for January, not counting the cost of loading it and transporting it and fuel, and the current price is $90 a ton for February.
For the hard mix.
For the hard mix.
But we stopped getting the single stream. The board stopped that from City Kingston, and it went from single stream to hard mix, which is cardboard and newsprint.
I understand that.
They took out all the commingle. They took out all the glass.
I'm sorry.
They took out all the commingle and all the glass. It's not part of that anymore. It's not.
Where
single
does
stream.
That go?
That comes to us.
Yeah, the commingle and glass we get as a separate, like the town.
Right. I still have a concern why the payments stopped, because the flow, the only thing that changed with the flow of the material was the name from single stream to hard mix. And they stopped paying.
Well, you understand, the staff can't start charging for things without the board. If the board wants to charge, then you guys can do that. All you got to do
The question then, Tim, is why did the payment stop?
It was a different product.
It's a different product, Charlie.
But
I think the question, Charlie,
still,
is why did...
We're still paying.
But that last April, the markets are different than what they are right now. So last March, when we were charging $115 a ton for single stream...
You have to forgive me. The only thing I seen change was the payment. That was the only thing I seen change.
No,
the payment stopped from single stream to hard mix, and we're still spending a fortune on hard mix.
Now, but the paper product last April, it wasn't costing us $102 or $90 a ton. Yeah.
What's it costing us now?
But what does that have to do with last April?
So that was a decision that the board made before Lisa and I got on board. So.
I'm sorry.
That decision not to charge the city was a decision that the previous board made before I was on and Lisa was on the board. So you.
I don't remember.
Yeah, we made it last year. Yeah. When we stopped the single stream.
Yeah, that was.
Stopped any charges.
It was probably.
It was last spring.
Yeah, it was before we got on. So I don't have a horse in this race.
You were on the board. No, you're last year.
Yeah. No, but we gave a time limit. So yeah. The board didn't vote on that until probably January or February, my guess.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and look. But because it didn't start until, what, April? Well, it's right here. It's right here.
Yeah, so, last year.
Yeah, in May.
Yeah.
So the board gave them lead time, though. So what Joanne is saying, she wasn't part of those votes, and she's right. Because those votes happened months earlier, because you gave the city of Kingston 4 months or whatever it was lead time to say, this is the date that it's going to stop.
Well, we gave them a vote in December, and then they didn't stop. If you remember, we had a discussion here with the board. Yeah,
he came in, the mayor came in and asked for more time.
And we kept giving him extensions because he promised us.
I think the real issue here is that we're still receiving hard mix.
So
it's not without the pay. Are we still receiving it?
So
that's the problem.
It's not the pay, it's the receiving.
Tim, time out. That information that we're talking about should be in the minutes. I'd like to read that the board authorized taking the hard mix at no cost. I'd like to read that someplace because that's what we did. They stopped, the city stopped sending single stream and kept sending material but changed the name to hard mix.
They didn't change the name. They sent hard mix.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a different product.
But the payments stopped.
No, they're still paying for the solid waste they're sending here. Except they extrapolated out the cardboard and the newsprint, and they sent that in a different truck, and that's the new hard mix that they're dumping
that
over there.
That we're paying $100 a ton
to get rid of.
That's correct. So the issue is, why are we still receiving it?
Thank you, counselor.
I don't think we ever voted on letting them have it for free.
Well, I think what Charlie's talking about, they switched one product for another. So they got out of the single stream business, but they introduced a new product, which was the hard mix. Right. So we were still faced with the same problem.
And we're still faced with the problem of paying to get rid of it, but the city has stopped paying us.
Right. Our position right now.
I got a real problem with that.
Our position right now is basically, there's a cost savings for all involved if the cardboard is removed from the mixed news. The mixed news is your expense at this point, whether you have cardboard. Cardboard takes away from any weight in the trailer. So with more cardboard you have, the more airspace you have, you're not going to get the weight. If I send out a load of mixed news, I'm going to get 30 ton on that trailer. If I send out a load of a hard mix with a lot of cardboard, I'm going to get like maybe 20 ton on it.
That's but it's still costing us to get rid of it.
It's still costing us to get rid of it. So the cost savings on this material, right, the fiber, the mixed news, is the removal of the cardboard. As much cardboard as you can remove from that mixed news is going to be a cost savings for all involved. Right, Tim?
You understand my concern,
yeah,
Mr. Chair?
So, we do. So yeah, because your concern is it 90 a ton right now. Okay. Currently, there's the price 90 a ton for what you're talking about.
Okay. Could the city separate that one more time? So, for instance, they pick up the mixed news twice a month. Can they just pick up the paper one time a month?
The cardboard.
And the cardboard another time.
Well, that's what we're trying to get them to do, Joanne.
Well, that's
that was a proposal that we made to the city, right, Charlie?
Okay.
If they would do that, we'd be in much
better.
That would
be better. Okay.
So I think what Charlie wants to know, I think what the board wants to know, correct me if I'm wrong, where did this meeting go? What was decided? Are they going to stop sending hard mix?
Well, that's my next question. My understanding, Tim, that it's supposed to stop on March 1st.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes.
Then we can start using our composting machine, bagging machine, because we'll have the room to do it.
Right. But we allowed them to bring us the commercial. That's what we agreed on, and they would still bring us residential. But what I'm telling you is there's more cardboard in the residential than what we normally would experience.
Yeah.
We're not sure why.
So now that's the next problem. Yeah.
And Charlie's working on that. Charlie's trying
to
figure out why.
We're working on trying to find out why there is,
Charlie and Tim, you know, with all due respect, we continue to put our compost bagging operation off and off and off, and the city is not compensating us one nickel for delaying our composting operation. I'm not happy with that.
Let me simplify this for you. You're not wrong. Let me simplify this for you. If it was all mixed news, just like I get from the transfer stations, there's some de minimis cardboard in the mixed news that I pick up at the drop centers. That wouldn't be a problem. But because the amount of cardboard that's still currently in that mix, I cannot put it together. Because it's two different, it's two products.
So I'm looking forward to March 1st, we're going to start up the bagging up composting operation, right? Do I have that straight? I'm asking the question.
Well, let me think about that, because I don't want to commit to something I can't.
No. The answer is no.
You can't. How can you do that?
I can't. Unless we have a mixed news and not a mixed cardboard mixed news. No, I can't. Nobody wants it separate. I can't mix this all together. Mixed news and this other mixed news with all this cardboard.
That's not what I'm asking.
I know.
What I'm asking is, at what point in time will the buildings, the space in our building, will be available for us to bag composting? That's my question.
When I have a mixed news product and not a product that still represents 30-40% cardboard in their mixed news, that's when.
So
I have two products. I don't have this. I only have the space for one product.
Well, legally we could stop. We've been through this before.
I mean, the letter said March 1st.
Well, you know, we're bending over backwards.
But that's not what Fred's talking about. Fred's talking about there's a cost to it. That's what this whole thing was about. There's still a cost to this mix.
It's what this is about.
We kind of got off of that.
It's a cost plus we don't have our building to compensate.
Thank you, Council.
Right. Two issues.
Right. You're right, Council. It's two, really two issues.
And they're separate.
Right.
If we cut them off, we solve both.
But what is your concern most, Fred? Is it our Charlie or whoever? Is it the fact that we can't bag because we have two spots?
Well, we have two concerns. Charlie and I really, we bought that bagging machine to make it more viable for the housewife to come in and buy her bag of compost for her house plants. You know, for her plants in the house.
Sorry. No, you're not. You're a board member.
What? Housewife.
You are a professional board member.
Yeah.
What? No, I mean, that's why we got the bagging machine, so that people could come up and get to buy this one, instead of buying a ton or buying a bucket load, to come up and buy a 20-pound bag so they could take it home and do their house plants and do their gardens and stuff like that.
Charlie, you and I were accused of trespassing when we thought we solved this thing, because they have an empty building. The city of Kingston has a large empty building up there.
Well, you were trespassing. I was giving you a ride.
Almost to jail.
And you're a former alderman, and they were still going to have you arrested.
You know, we're laughing, but we're losing money. We're losing money.
And that's my concern. It's costing the agency money. It's costing the taxpayers money to take care of the city of Kingston.
Well, you could change that. You guys could just initiate a fee. I mean, the board has that power, and then we will.
I think they want the space, isn't that right?
Well, two things. Right. Yeah. So it's the fact that we need the space.
Right.
One, and the other thing is, you know, are we, you know?
They're still across the mixed news, so they're still facing a cost to mixed news. Right. So there's a negative number. Remove all the cardboard you can, so you're not delivering as many tons of mixed news. Mm-hmm. So that's going to help everybody. So that's really what you're at. Get rid of all the cardboard out of it. You still have a negative number to get rid of your mixed news. You still have that.
And that negative number is... Would it be offset by the compost?
No. It is what it is, right?
Okay.
So it's going to cost us, I would say, if I had to say... Tim and I talked about it, both Tims, and I would say that instead of $90 a ton without loading it and fuel and transport and everything, it would be $50 a ton with all of that. Right, Tim? So to load it and to...
There's an extra $15, $18.
$15, I got $15.35 to $50. Okay. So, but right now, currently, without any cost to us getting back for loading, it's $90.
Okay. So, can we...
And that's if this works out.
Okay. Can we make a proposal to the city that as of...
March 1st.
Well...
What happens to the deadline that they agreed on when they had their meeting with the mayor?
Well, no, that came out in a letter from Ken.
That was for the commercial cardboard, wasn't it?
No, that was for everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so we... So at our next meeting, then we'll know whether or not they're...
Well, I think they've had meetings. I don't know. I don't know what transpired at the meetings.
When Tim does his treasurer's report and stuff, you're going to see some costs that relate to getting rid of the fiber material.
Uh-huh.
I'll let Tim talk about that when we get to that.
But my question is, and we don't know going forward from March 1st whether or not the city is going to make good.
Joanne, what I'm getting is that March 1st may not be
a realistic
red line and
next week.
From what I'm hearing.
You're right, Joanne. You're right on the money. In the sense that we don't know.
We don't know.
No.
So we could say that if on March 1st we're still getting the mixed fiber, then we need to revisit this and start, and the city needs to know that we will be charging them.
Or not taking it.
That those are their...
I think we should do that now, initiate that right now, and on March 1st, this is what's going to happen.
I already did. I have a letter sent to them.
Did you send us a copy of it?
I believe so.
I thought so.
Yeah.
You got it?
That went out months ago.
No, not to charge them.
No, just to cease and desist.
Yeah.
Cease and desist.
Yeah, that went out a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Tim, but you still have the negative number for mixed news, which isn't going to change. You're still going to be paying to get rid of mixed news.
The bottom line, I don't mean to get excited about it, but the bottom line is we spent $48,000 for a bagging machine.
No, I understand that. But I want to separate those issues right now, right, so that if we can get the city, right, to either hold their stuff and just deliver it at one point to us, we still have a cost.
And you have a cost with all the towns.
Are we charging all the towns for them?
No, it's a zero tip fee.
Then maybe what we need to do is we need to have to start saying we need to charge a tip fee for the mixed news.
You know what's sad, Joanne? They have as large a building vacant at their transfer station.
But that's the city. But if we can't just penalize the city if Esopus is doing it.
That's my concern.
Okay, and so therefore, I think that we. Okay, I tell my students if we have a problem, we don't just put a Band-Aid on it. We try to solve for the source of the problem. I'm hearing the source of the problem is that we're accepting. Both the mixed news and not charging for it. It just happens that the city happens to give us a lot of it.
So the issue then is if we're going to pay for mixed news with all the towns at free, are we going to be able to use the storage area for our machine, for our composting machine, if we stop taking the hard...
So in a perfect world, if you removed all the cardboard, you'd have less volume that you're paying to get rid of course, because there's still a modest rebate for the cardboard, $25 to $30. So you would save money on the volume going out, but you get your space back, because you'd be able to mix everything together because it's all one product now. But you still have a cost anywhere from fifty to a hundred.
Yeah, and that's what we have to do.
Yeah. Right.
50 to 100 a ton. So
for cardboard.
There's no difference in the cost of the hard mix versus, nobody wants it because you can't get the weight in the trailers, which I said earlier, but there's no cost difference from a hard mix to a mixed news. They're both the same cost.
Okay.
It's just you're going to save money if you get rid of the cardboard out of it.
That's what we should be doing.
If I have 50 tons of hard mix and I take out 10 tons, I'm only going to pay to get rid of 40.
Whatever it takes, you tell the city want any more cardboard.
But we don't... My understanding is that we have to tell every single transfer station we're not taking cardboard.
Mixed news.
Well, they separate it anyhow.
Yeah, but there's a cost to the mixed news.
Yeah.
That's what Charlie was just saying.
Oh, yeah.
I know, but we can live with the mixed news cost, but we want to get our building back, so
it's the same cost.
It's the same cost.
Same cost for the towns.
Maybe on the next go-round with the towns, since they're
coming
to
up soon,
renew their contracts, we may have to work out something about the mixed news.
But
I think to sum it up, it's not just the city of Kingston, it's all the towns. Yeah. So if you say that you don't want to take mix, or you want to charge for mixed news, it's got to be across the board.
I think I thought I just said we're not worried about the charging for the mixed news because we're not doing it to the other 17 towns. But we want to get our building back, so the cardboard. The city's the only one that's doing that.
Wrong. Right? I think our position is that we want to recoup that money with everybody. Yeah. If it's a cost to us. That's my understanding, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's the way you
go. I don't know how we got to where we are. They just stopped paying for the city.
I'm talking about March 1st. Yeah. I'm talking about this issue with the city of Kingston only. Next year, we have the contracts with the town. We can do that.
This year.
I'm talking about right now, the issue the board just brought up.
Right.
I know, but Fred brought up that in the very beginning of this, that it's costing us to get rid of fiber. Right, Fred? Did you bring that up, right?
Yeah.
So if you were to look at it, and I'm not doing a treasurer's report, January would represent a cost of like $15,000, and Tim's going to clarify what it is. I'm sure it's around there somewhere.
Well, my comment when I brought it up is that we're sending the hard mix to Republic, right? We don't separate that.
No.
Well, that's what he's talking about, the hard mix.
What we need to do is get the cardboard out of that hard mix, because we're paying for the newsprint
and you do all
from everybody, from all the towns and the city. And you that's another issue. But we need to separate the hard mix that we're getting from the city now because all the cardboard is in with the news.
That's what I thought I said.
And that would be
done
at the collection point. And that would be done at the collection point, whether it's the drop center or at the curb. You follow me?
Yeah.
So that's where it's got to be done. So you're going to get your spot back, but you're still going to have a cost to get rid of paper.
Yes. We understand that. That can all be done next year. They're talking about the spot back as soon as possible.
Right.
All right. So the finances is not part of this discussion.
Yeah. No. It is not. That's coming next year.
Yeah. Okay, so we won't know about getting the spot back then until after March 1st, which is next week.
Right.
So.
And if we don't get it back, think you either got to tell
the city,
our executive director, what you want to do. It's that simple. Okay. You want to use March 1st, or you want to tell them that you're not taking the hard mix anymore?
What is it, Charlie?
I just want to be really abundantly clear, right? This is a month-by-month basis, right, depending on what the markets are at. So if you were currently paying with load and 50 a ton, and we're doing 200 tons a month, we're going to eat those costs until next year? Is that what I'm hearing? We're going to eat those costs?
That's what we're doing now.
We've been doing it forever, Charlie.
You got a contract coming up this year. We can't change in the middle of a contract.
So it's a market-driven cost, right? So two separate issues. One, we might have to renegotiate for all the towns.
Right.
We'll also have to put out to the city the same type of
same price,
right? So that's.
So we should leave that alone right now. That's what we agreed on. And that's not, our contracts are ending up soon. We'll renegotiate.
Yeah, when do the contracts end?
Well, hold on a second here. We don't have a contract with the city.
Okay.
We don't have a contract with the city. We have a contract with the towns to service them, to have our roll-off drivers go out and pick up the containers.
Okay.
So the board, and it's not in violation of any contract, can set the tipping fee on the recycling for whatever you want. On all of the recycling?
That's exactly right.
Or some of the recycling?
So it doesn't have nothing to do with the contract.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with the contract.
We gave them a list this year of the prices, right?
We gave them a list on what the tipping fee is going to be at
the
scale.
That's the building that the city has.
Yeah, yeah, just for the MSW.
And
the scale. And also the pull charge.
Okay.
Everything that they're doing with us should be going through that building so that we can use it.
So that was a five-year. Tim planned that out for 5 years, so that's how we got those numbers.
I'm going to try and sum this up as easily as I can, okay? We have two issues here. The first issue is the hard mix from the city. Charlie, please.
Ken, I know. I'm out there. I know exactly what's going on.
Well, listen to it.
No, I know. I got it. We got the space.
I'm telling
that you
the board, Charlie.
Okay.
The hard mix is coming from the city of Kingston. We want that to stop so that we can use our building for our machinery, right? That's one.
That's one.
Okay. If they don't do that by March 1st, we have to let these guys know what you want to do, okay? The second issue is the cost for the other towns are getting free. That is going to have to be negotiated next year, or if the board wants to, you can send a new price list out, right? If you want to recoup it, because that is not part of the contract. That's just the prices we give to the town each year.
Yeah, every year, just so everybody's, and Ken's absolutely right, that's not in the contract. What is in the contract are the monthly roll-off, or the monthly box charges that are in there, because we amortize that over a 10-year period. We only signed 5-year contracts with the hope they would sign in for another 5 years so we would recoup all those costs. But I send them out every year after the budget, and it always goes out the day after the September board meeting. I've always done that for 10 years. The day after the September board meeting, a letter goes out to all the supervisors and let them know what the ensuing year's fees are going to be, such as recycling, which is a zero tipping fee, and that was in there. But that's not contractual in any manner. That's just budgetary.
But I think...
Okay, can I ask a question?
Can I just say this one more thing?
Yeah,
I think if we're going to have those contracts come up shortly, we should address that next year, because they're going to say the town's made their budget, knowing what it is, and it's really...
No, can't do it next year.
Right.
Can't charge the towns next year anyhow. Let's go back 15 years when they used to have the containers for the newsprint. What kind of charge did they do that in those days when you had a separate container for newsprint? Did you charge them the same as the solid waste?
15 years ago?
Yeah.
That was before my time.
I know.
There was a time when we did have a tipping fee, right?
Yeah, as recent as 10 years ago.
Was it the same charge?
I don't know. Are you talking about us? If we charged?
Yeah.
We charge.
When you picked up the box.
We have charged $30 to $50 a ton for cardboard and newspaper many times in the past.
So
it's been a while.
So we could actually say as of
imported stone.
Yes.
We'll give it a floor.
We will go forward in charging $50 to all the for recycled.
Just so everybody's clear, right? We lost $300,000 at the MRF last year. That's without these. Cost of $20,000 a month, probably what it's going to cost you for the fiber. So, $20,000 a month for the rest of the year. We'll do the math, and what was $57,000? Tim's going to talk about that just for January alone. So, those are the numbers you want to think about. So, times 10 more months.
Okay. So we could make a motion to charge $50 a ton starting September 1, right? And at least start to recoup some of this. And it would give all the town supervisors time to rejigger their budgets, if necessary.
Yeah, but they might not have, if they don't have enough fund balance in there to cover, I would say to do it starting in January, but
okay.
If it's in September,
thank you.
It's really
tough. That would be my fallback is that we tell them as soon as possible so that they can do their planning.
You tell them in September by a letter the costs are going to go up in January X Y Z. So it gives.
All right, Mayor Joe, I want to say something. 121.
Appreciate it. I want to say two things. One is that. I think most of the community at large sees the agency as the place where recyclable materials can be brought to be diverted. And the best way to promote that diversion is to put the costs, whatever costs are associated as the markets fluctuate. Back early on, we had good, strong markets that were paying for every single material and every source separated. But now this facility has the processing capability. Kingston doesn't have, they have a floor, but they don't have the processing capability. And I think if the agency is committed to diversion, the best way to pay for the cost of recycling is to put that in the tipping fee, and to plan ahead based on this year's experience for next year, so that you're maximizing diversion. My concern is when I hear that you're not going to be taking material from Kingston because the cardboard's mixed in with the newspaper. What does that leave Kingston with to be able to do? Does that mean that a whole lot of material that they've gone from single stream to double stream, but there's a lot of cardboard in the paper stream? What are they going to do? And I think the towns and the city have over the years, over 30 years, come to rely on the agency and its equipment to be able to solve that problem. I would hate to see materials start getting trashed that should be diverted. You know, I understand the agency has invested a lot in composting, and I think everyone knows how devoted I am to composting, but I don't want to see something put into place that's a deterrent to recycling, to diversion. So I want you to consider that, because you have the equipment. I don't believe the city does. They may have space, but not equipment to sort paper.
We don't process it. We have the same thing they do before. That's it. That's all we have.
It's just a matter of who's going to transport it.
That's what we have. We have no more than that.
Their cost or our cost, that's all it is.
You have a processing line? You don't use the processing
line?
Not for
newspaper. We do commingle.
Just for
plastic
commingle.
And tin.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah. Let me just say that Charlie has met with the city of Kingston on several occasions. Tim's met with the mayor. The city could solve their problems if they wanted to. It's a scheduling problem that Charlie gave them, a schedule where they could run their packers and pick up the cardboard one day a week and separate the newsprint and the cardboard. And they haven't followed through with the recommendations that the RRA has given them in order to expedite this. So, I mean, it's a two-way street. They could do a lot. They could help themselves a lot and not create some of the problems that are being created here, man.
We're trying to get them moving on it, basically.
Yeah.
You know, seriously.
Fred, can I add something?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I just want to say this, right? So from the towns, we pick up, what, 17 towns, Tim?
16.
16 towns.
Yeah.
So we collected 95 tons of newspapers. So if you take 17 or 16 and divide it by 95, it's not much. But if the agency is going to take that entire 95 ton, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. I also want to say this. We have been absorbing the cost of glass all along, that $40 a ton. So it's 500 tons a year. We're already absorbing that for the town. So I just want to say, in fairness of the agency, I just want to make sure everybody's clear on that. So if you decide to spend an extra $20,000 a month to take care of the newspaper, that's your decision. But we are currently doing that for the glass right now as we speak.
Yeah, but we have a great system for the glass. With the one vendor you found, we separate the glass. They take it by clear and color and so forth.
But it's still 40 a ton. It's still 40 a ton, which is a good deal.
But it's a lot cheaper than what it would cost us to process it.
$40 a ton.
$40 it cheaper than grinding it.
Yeah, $40 a ton is a good deal.
I think we can beat this to death, but we're going to raise this. These guys are going to put their heads together and get some figures for next year. We're going to send it out in September or October.
That's
let
fine.
The towns do their budget.
That's fine.
And just to piggyback on that, I agree with Ken. The time to do that is the day after the September board meeting. I've been doing it for 10 years. That's when the price list goes out for the ensuing year to the supervisors, because I put them on notice that the public hearing is going to be held. It's always held in mid-October for the budget, so they have those fees ahead of time. So
a suggestion? If we can move it up 1 month, being a former supervisor, you start doing your budget in August. So if we could do it in August, it would give them time in September while they're generating their budget, because they vote on it in October. And it's approved in November. So if we could do it that way, we'd help the town's supervisors a lot with their budgets.
Okay, where were we?
Okay, let's move on.
That was a recycling tonnage report, I think.
Yes.
Okay, Kim, go ahead.
That was recycling tonnage, right?
Yeah.
So now we're on the market trend.
We have to approve that. I don't think we did, right?
Not yet. We didn't get anything.
That's what's up next.
Yeah.
No. Okay, so as you know, the top portion of the page is our various brokers and who we sold what to. The bottom half of the page, you'll see exactly who we sold it to for what price. This does need to be accepted.
Price is 170. Yeah. Okay, I'll entertain a motion to accept the market report.
So moved.
I'll second.
By Joanne. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried unanimously.
Yeah, you can't.
And then you'll see that your graph is next.
Okay.
The timbers are fine. You'll see the market trends. This is the new sheet.
Yeah, but the factors should come after, so we should just rotate them.
Okay. Everybody okay with this? We can go on to leachate?
Yep.
I like this.
Yeah.
This is nice.
I'm a very visual person.
Yeah.
I love graphs.
Yeah.
Who made you graphs?
Brenna.
The only thing that we put on there is what correlates to the reports.
Uh-huh.
So, like, we didn't put everything on there because it would have ended up like this.
So the biggest one is hard mix, right?
And then
we're making money on one thing.
Mm, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So let's not take glass, hard mix, or mixed news. All right.
Okay. That's not
that happen. Is nice.
Yeah. All right. Leachate for Ulster. Last year we did 273. This year we're at 126, so that's good news. And New Paltz last year we did 87, and now we're up to 231, so that's high.
Yeah. Why did it have a lot of rain in New Paltz?
Yeah, we know the geology is a lot different. And I
blame
know,
Laura.
The geology is a lot different between the two. As Catherine and I found out back when I first started 10 years ago, Catherine and I were involved in a study at New Paltz. And at New Paltz landfill, it's predicated on groundwater for the most part, which Ulster's not. So the groundwater rises, that's when the pumps kick on. We found that out. We thought it was coming from a wetland that was a little above. Whereas Ulster, that's more from surface. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, even though you've got that lake in the back, we found out that's more from surface. So that's why you see the numbers sometimes transposed.
Mm-hmm. And someday that's going to disappear.
Yeah.
That's
right. But it's a big jump also for Hurley.
And that all depends on when the tanks fill. There's tanks there that fill up, so it depends on when we take it out. So that might be a little misleading.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, recycling.
Recycling program update. For the month of February, our promotions on social media and print have been promoting our spring classes. So in your board packet, you should have a copy of the classes that we're offering this spring. I just wanted to review them really briefly. Lynn and I are hosting a spring cleaning seminar. That's a new class that we're offering that kind of features some of the odd recyclables and what can be done with them throughout the process of cleaning your home and decluttering your home. There are a lot of those other hard-to-recycle items that we want to promote and share with people. We're also hosting an intro to home composting class as well as an advanced track for backyard composting. We found that a lot of the people that come and attend our composting seminars do have some experience composting, so we wanted to provide a separate class for people to expand on specific topics where you're already composting and what to do with the finished product. So we're breaking up the seminar this year into two blocks. I'm very happy to share that all three of those classes have reached capacity, and we have about 12 people on a waiting list between all three classes if there are any cancellations. We had posted this earlier this month, and within about 2 weeks, all three classes had filled to capacity, which we're really excited about.
So are you going to tape these classes and then put them a link up on the
That's a great question. Yeah. Melinda and I had discussed, you know, live streaming them on Facebook. You know, we were trying to do more things on social media and Instagram, doing live videos and things like that. So we had discussed maybe doing live streaming, but we weren't, you know, we didn't work out the details of that at this time.
But not a live, just just a one camera, video it, and then just a link on. Because I'd be interested in all of these, but my time and your time are, as we know.
Absolutely. Thank you for your suggestion. And the folks who are on our waiting list, they will get a copy of the presentation, even if they can't make it to the class, we'll share it. And I also just want to point out that all of our classes are offered for free this year.
Yay.
We also have a open house seminar for our commercial partners in composting program. You'll see that listed as a spring class. So we're inviting local business owners, managers, food establishments, et cetera, to come for a tour of our composting facility and just learn a little bit more about our partners in composting program, the other benefits that their business could see through composting and increased recycling rates. So those were our media announcements this month. No radio ads airing this month, though we are recording later this week 11 new commercials that will run over all the radio stations throughout the year. You'll see in outreach and education, there aren't a lot of presentations or tours because it's February, and the more pertinent workload that we've had is working on all the annual reports that are due by the end of the month. So if you go to the bottom of the page, you'll see a breakdown of some of the summarizing some of those reports that we've been working on. And Chairman, you had asked a question at a previous meeting about the electronics recycling report in particular.
Right.
As monthly, we can report on the number of visits to the state, to the office, but not necessarily the types of electronics.
That's okay, just so we know, you know, what the traffic flow is. So
absolutely.
I wanted the board to see that.
Melinda had actually prepared a really, really thorough report, which she's going to pass around for you now. Not only looking at the electronics recycling program for this past year, but she's also compiled some information about the historical program from year to year. So I'll let Melinda discuss the report she put together.
Okay. So I'll go through it really quickly because I know we've spent a lot of time talking already. So the first page in the booklet is about the e-waste that we accept and what we do not accept. And we want to just be clear that our numbers are from check-ins in the office. We do know that sometimes people don't check in with electronics, so we don't always get
present
to...
Present company excluded, right?
Yeah. I didn't know I had to.
So don't our numbers are by...
sign.
Why not?
She said there's a sign.
I never looked because it's been here so long. I just walked, drove up... carry it and put it in a box.
Well, when we get the new facilities built here, you'll have your own place.
He'll have his own bay.
We'll have some place to bring it with an actual guard there.
And so that's how we get our numbers for the other graphs. Yeah, but the first two graphs are from the ERI.
Fred explained it all to me. Yeah. However, Melinda never did.
Really? I probably did, but maybe you weren't listening.
Yeah.
Maybe
so
the first two graphs are what we the report that comes back to from us from ERI, which is the Electronic Recycling Inc. company, where all our electronics go. So the numbers are from 2015. That's when we started collecting electronics here at the main office, and you can see the breakdown. So in total, from 2015 to 2019. We recycled about 1,300 tons of electronics.
Oh.
And then over 2 million pounds.
Over 2 million pounds.
That sounds like really impressive. It is very impressive.
So then on the second page, you'll see the breakdown by year of who utilized the program. So you'll have the residents, businesses, non-for-profits, and government agencies.
Oh. That's very impressive.
The things that I find most interesting are how many people have come, because we keep track of who comes from where. Again, this is what residents are telling us. Sometimes we do ask them which town they're from, and they'll say Ulster. So you live in the town of Ulster? They're like, no, I live in the town of Saugerties. They get sometimes a town and county confused, but we do reiterate that with them, you know, to be clear. So as long as they're giving us the right town and right information, then that's where our numbers do come from. So So last year we had, let's see, there was an increase from 2008 to 2019. And I just want to, it's not in order, but on the last page you can see which counties they have come from when we say out of county. So we broke it down by Dutchess, Green, Columbia. We've had some people come from Delaware, Sullivan, Orange, and other places. It was interesting to me in 2019, we did have someone come from Vermont with electronics. Anyone can dump electronics here. If it's a business, it has to have less than 50 employees. If it's a not-for-profit, they have to have less than 75. So we do not, you know, tell you can't come in if you're not from this county. Interesting, the busiest days of the week that people come in 2019 and 18 was Mondays and Fridays are the two busiest days. And then the busiest month in 2019, busiest month was July, and 2018 was August. But February for both years were the slowest months. It's just probably because of the weather. Nobody wants to go out with their electronics.
Yeah, cleaning house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then for towns, in 2019, the city of Kingston, we've had the most residents utilize our free electronic recycling program. And then Saugerties takes second place and Town of Ulster is third. But you can see the breakdown by all the towns. Mm-hmm. And how we categorize that is we, so like somebody from Glasgow, we don't put Glasgow, we put them from Saugerties. We try to use the town transfer stations as the local points. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you very much, Amanda, for putting this together. It's really impressive.
Great.
To
thank
see,
you.
To look
that's
at it
impressive.
Historically from that perspective to see how the program has continued to grow over the years. And lastly, the other update I have under miscellaneous, we are coordinating the household hazardous waste collection event for this year. We do plan to host 3 collection programs in April, July, and October, just like we've planned that program through previous years. We have our application submitted to DEC. We have the continued support of the Ulster County Sheriff's Department to collect pharmaceuticals at those events. We also are very pleased with the continued support of Region 3 DEC to allow us to use their parking lot for the July event. So we have 2 collections here in Kingston and 1 collection in the summer in New Paltz, so we can reach residents in that region of the county with that program. Any questions?
Thank you. I just want to add one more thing. Because I know you always ask about the schools. We are holding, we're hosting an informational open house here at our office on March 11th. We have sent out 2 emails to all the schools, to the superintendents, principals, assistant principals. That went out, I want to say, we do that beginning of February. Mm-hmm. And we also mailed it to everyone. My notes.
I have a good lead in for that. Tim and I have had this discussion of why we're not getting in some of the schools, especially in Kingston, where we haven't been able to break into it. And I had suggested to Tim that we, instead of writing the principals, and they're going to blow you off because with testing and everything today, they're really busy. What we need to do is write the members of the Board of Education in each one of these school districts with a letter telling them all about the RRA so they get to know about us, and ask them to speak to their superintendent about looking how we could promote recycling and so forth in the schools. Mm-hmm. So
what I didn't realize until Fred told me is that they read that correspondence in the board meeting, right?
Right. It's all read publicly. So yeah. Because I know you guys go and talk to these principals and I'll give you an example. Kiwanis used to do something on Flag Day, and for years we did it in 3 schools in the town of Ulster. And the one principal came to me 2 years ago, and she said, I don't want you to come anymore. I said, I beg your pardon? She said, no, we're too busy here. We can't do this anymore. I mean, an hour presentation on Flag Day, about the American flag and so forth, and she didn't want to do it because I interfered with her schedule. So we need to go up. We need to contact the boards of education, I feel, and say, this is what we have to offer and promote ourselves with the board so they can go back to the superintendent, because we're doing very well in Saugerties and I guess Woodstock, right?
In Ontario school district.
And
we haven't
been able to break into Kingston. You don't do anything.
Last year we went to Kingston, we went to Chambers, they invited us.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, a teacher
of mine several times. Once we had presented to mm-hmm. one of the classrooms, the teachers had recommended us between their colleagues, so we actually got called back multiple times to Chambers Elementary.
And they have a new principal at Chambers, see, that's good. Right. Okay.
And we have teacher friends, Angie and I, and we've spoke to them about it, and it is, they have a curriculum that they have to follow, and they have to meet deadlines. So to try to get even field trips, a lot of the classes don't even take field trips anymore because they just don't have time.
They don't have
and
the money.
Besides the money.
They can't afford it. That's why I was trying to get a bus.
So we thought it would be...
donate a bus, but that didn't come to fruition. Nobody wanted to donate a bus this year, but I'll try next year. I'll try this year in June again to see what we can do.
So this was the invitation that we sent to everyone.
It is included in your board packet. And you'll also read in our update, we did have a meeting with DEC staff regarding... recycling and composting in schools. We were actually one of 3 counties that were invited to come and speak to some staff at DEC and with a local nonprofit organization trying to break into schools a little bit more. And I gotta say, all 3 counties that were present, echoed those concerns that it's very difficult to get your foot in the door and to really work and nurture those relationships with the schools. But thank you for your recommendation, and we really hope to expand in that arena.
So not only do you want to meet hit the students and educate the students, right? But you also, there's a budgetary impact for, and that's how I think you also have to approach it with the school boards.
That might be the hook.
It's free.
That's a hook.
It's free.
And that's one of the things that makes you.
No, the training of the students, but if they start to recycle, start to do this, if they sort of separate, if they use composting, it's a budgetary hook.
Right, and that's one of the things we have talked to some of the schools about, and that's one of the things we were going to talk about besides the recycling law, the composting law that's going into effect. And we thought it would be good to bring, there is a school that is sending a representative that's a science teacher to this meeting, so we did put that in the email. If you couldn't attend, if you would want somebody to come in to represent your school district to send them, we did get a response. There is a science teacher that's coming to the to our invite, so we did get a response on somebody like
from
that.
From Kingston?
Ellenville, actually.
So we're making inroads in Ellenville.
Well, Ellenville does come every June. There's an eco club that they have that they bring in, and they have come for the last 3 years.
Yeah,
they come in for a tour.
Okay.
So Kingston Schools, you know, we just touched based on a little bit of them. I think there's, how many schools in Kingston? 12, 14?
Yeah.
So. The Plattekill Library, I know, I think email got circulated that they're interested in having you come in. Their programs are usually with the kids, and sometimes the parents are there too.
Yeah, we've been contacted by Gardner. We have Gardner coming up. So we're doing stuff with Saugerties Library. So last year was a big thing with us with the libraries, and now they're calling us back, and some of the ones that we did not visit last year want us to come this year. So our calendar is pretty full with
libraries. Libraries are a good source.
Yeah, but libraries you can do year-round. Schools are sort of...
Okay. Especially the libraries have more summer programs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very much.
Absolutely.
Okay. Money bags. Our treasurer's report.
I like this format. It's very clear. I noticed it. I like clear.
For the month of January, we did 8,172 tons of MSW, 2,273 tons of C&D. There's no real revenue line items of note. Total revenue was $1,261,757. Down on the expense side, I want to draw your attention to the MSW hauling private contracts, which, as you can see, is up over $121,000 higher than last year, and that has to do with our contractual increases in the current year. CLF monitoring and maintenance. We did a bunch of road repairs at our Ulster landfill, and we also had an increase in our tax bill as it relates to the solar farm. Total operating expenses for the month, $1,118,236, which gave us net operating revenues of $143,521. We had one capital outlay item, which was the final lease payment for our L90H loader of $49,642. Which gave us a positive fund balance for the month of $93,879. Any questions?
That's good.
Well, I haven't done the next report yet.
Just notice here what our MSW hauling contracts cost, and if we had a landfill, how much money we would save by not hauling it 248 miles each way, plus the carbon footprint on the freeway and everything.
Yeah.
That's gone on deaf ears for many years.
I do like your notations now. So glad you're doing that.
And now I don't have to do it like 150 before the meeting starts.
It's so much easier. And it allows you to us to zero in what.
We're open 360 days.
So thank you.
Thank you.
So is this just the bad news?
Might be.
We're open 9 hours. That is parentheses. Is that negative?
Yes.
Let's approve the good report first.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's a negative.
We got to approve that.
I'll wave my way.
Entertained a motion for the treasurer's report.
So
made by Joanne, second by Charlie. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried unanimously.
Okay, so now.
Brenna, is there another public copy of this? Could you put that floor?
So, the month of January at the MRF, we had no tipping fees revenue, of course. Total sale recyclables was $6,395. But you'll see I made a small change from last year's MRF report where I only had single stream and glass disposal costs. I've added a third line for the hard mix. News disposal costs. The total I don't know if I've ever explained it in detail. The MRF MSW, what that is any residuals that come out of the MRF that has to go over to the transfer station. I capture that cost in here by multiplying whatever the tons are by the T&D. So it's true cost related to the MRF. So our total transport and disposal cost for the month was $20,431, which gave us, I like to break out, because it's all market related.
But look at the cost for the hard mix that's cost us for the month of January.
Correct. I like to break out this top part as from the personnel and operating costs at the MRF because this really zeroes in on what those market rates are and combines it into one tiny little report up top. So that resulted in a net loss of $14,036. But then we add our actual, processing costs down at the MRF. So personnel for the month was $33,070, and the operating costs were $10,370, which gave us total personnel and operating costs of $43,440. And, you add that to the loss above, and we had a net loss for the month of $57,476.
Question.
Yep.
Okay. But even if we broke even here, right, we would still have a negative $43,400. The way you added that up. So, we still have these personnel operating costs,
sure,
whatever.
Like overhead and usually in processing. So when we talk about, Charlie brought up the question, what's the mixed news or hard mix cost on us? And I brought up the $15 to $18 a ton. That's transport costs you would find on the bottom here. So like if you were to set a price on that, you'd want to cover whatever the cost is just to pay to get rid of it, be it picked up, or delivered. But you'd also have to cover these other overhead costs down here.
And we want to finish in a positive vein because otherwise we're going to have to send a bill to the legislature for a net service fee. We haven't done that in the past 6 years?
7 years.
7 years. And that was always a big item with the legislature, sending them a bill that they had to pay.
Now, we've seen losses in the past on the MRF for I don't know how many years in a row, but, it's been covered, from our tipping fee on the garbage side. The garbage has been covering the MRF and recycling costs for years now. When I started here, we were making $1.5 million a year in revenue on some recyclables, and that's just not the case anymore.
Yeah.
The game's changed. That's how business works.
So ideologically, when the board looks at this, going back to what Manna was talking about earlier, do you want to subsidize the MRF with the MSW tipping fee? Or do you want the MRF to break even on its own and charge a tipping fee down there, and so the MSW tipping fee is not affected?
Yeah.
So that's an ideological question that Manna was talking about. So if you want the MRF to survive on its own, that's when you would start charging a tipping fee down there for the mixed news and for the other things.
Tim, can I expand on that really quick? So when you put it that way, and that's good, I just want Joanne to understand that there's a lot of big companies out there that don't bring up recycling. So if you put that cost into the tipping fee, you're asking them to pay for a recycling that they don't take advantage of.
Well, it's not just them, it's like the contractors.
Yeah.
And all the contractors are paying now for the recycling when they're not using the recycling system.
And the C&D is a good example because she had mentioned the word diversion, and you're not going to see that diversion in the C&D stuff, which was 25% of our stream last year, almost 25%.
And we get a lot of contractors in here.
So a lot of the big haulers are not into the recycling program with us at our MRF, and yet you'd be raising those costs for them.
Okay.
So rather than the places where, it would apply, such as the towns and the city.
Okay.
But the garbage haulers, they all charge a recycling fee now. I know I'm paying $30-some a month as additional charge for recycling on my dumpsters, and never had that before, but they're making it now.
And the flow fee too. They charge for flow control too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, mine does.
No, I don't get a flow control charge. I do. It's a recycling fee.
So you're paying your private hauler a recycling fee, but they're not it's not coming here?
No, when we put
I don't think it comes here, it goes to waste management. And they
okay.
There's still right a down cost the road. To them that they're passing along to the customer.
Okay.
They got their own, so like Waste Connection has their own MRF, and Waste Management of course does too. So they're charging at the curb, keeping their own recycling, and the people at the curb, the businesses and the residents are paying for that to subsidize the MRF that they're going to.
Okay.
Where if they don't use our MRF, we'd be charging them at our
scale. Okay, got it.
When we're getting ready to tell the towns what we're thinking of for new contracts, should we be kind of finding out what authorities doesn't participate right now? And is there another town that doesn't participate?
No, Socrates brings us their newspaper.
They bring their newspaper.
But they get rid of their cardboard. They sell their cardboard.
They sell their cardboard.
I see.
So anything that's an expense, we get.
And also, too, we don't service them with our roll-off trucks. They service themselves.
Oh, okay. That's what it is.
They're not one of the towns.
And same as Town of Ulster. Town of Ulster, they use their own trucks to transport.
I see. But they bring it here?
Yes.
So we don't have anybody who's really totally subscribing outside of us.
Well, no, because we have flow control.
Well, not on recycling.
Yeah, not on recycling.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
So everybody sells their cardboard, though, Kathy. They're the only ones that sell their own cardboard.
Well, I give a lot to Platicle. They could probably sell their own food. You should see the amount of cardboard they stuff into that thing.
Okay, resolutions.
Wait. What I'm going to be interested in going forward is because of that I'm going to say that we're going to see an impact on less electronics and that stuff coming in to the United States from China and Korea because of the health crisis. So I wonder how that's going to impact all of these cost too. So I think that we have to sort of look at it globally. Right?
And they're going to put a surcharge on it, or we're going to put a surcharge on it?
No, I don't think we're going to see less stuff coming in.
Oh, I think so too.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's going to impact. So that's, I guess that's why I'm saying we'll still have these personnel expenses and operating costs. We might not have.
Right,
so that's why I understand why you're doing that, but we're still going to have these operating costs.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Correct.
Even if we have nothing, no product.
Variable cost.
Yeah. Even if we have no product.
Joanne, one of the things that you just made me think about actually, when Tim talks about our personnel costs down at the MRF, I just want to say this, right? So, Melinda, how much e-waste did we do last year? 50, 300.
Tons.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 250.
So I just want to say, when you look at that personnel cost down at the MRF, take into account that all that packaging, all that loading, all that e-waste processing, that's part of that.
Okay.
We do it down at the MRF.
Okay.
Not all of it. I do allocate it out to the transfer station as applicable.
Yeah, but they load it up and down at the MRF.
They do. That's why I allocate some to the MRF and some to the transfer station, because otherwise it wouldn't be appropriate.
Right. But so out of the 260, we do about 40 tons. 50 tons out of all year for Ulster, and so the rest would come. So still pretty much
split it 50-50. It's tough.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
And to take it one step further, what you were just saying, when you're talking about the coronavirus.
Yeah.
I just read just before I came in here that the Dow dropped 1,000 points, and they're attributing that to the coronavirus.
That dropped this morning.
If that pushes us into another recession, that's even less material you're going to get. Because as soon as the economy starts to tank, our volumes start to tank.
Okay.
So. Tim, I have a question for you. If everybody in Beijing is already wearing a mask before this virus came about, how are they catching it? Just
Just a question.
Just the touching things.
Yeah, they're touching things. They're touching their eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can get it through eyes, ears, and yeah.
I'm taking their mask off.
As far as I know, that's not what I have. I think it's just an ordinary cold.
As far as I know.
It's a regular ordinary cold.
We're sending the health department over here to check you out.
Okay, moving on. Resolutions. Resolution 2496.
Toys.
Director.
More toys.
For Charlie. Charlie, do you want to do this?
Ahead,
so, just so everybody knows, I got Scott here from H.O. Penn. And I always like to have the folks here who, in case the board has some questions that I can't answer. I did look at a bunch of pieces of equipment. I was in touch with Matsu, and we did have some John Deere's here. And I had Scott's stuff here. He demoed it. And I didn't get a chance to demo the Komatsu because they couldn't get up there. But we did do the John Deere, and we did do Caterpillar. And my operator really, really liked the Caterpillar. They were all great machines, I want to say that. But I think the Caterpillar was the one that kind of pushed it over a little bit because they're doing something that's pretty unique. It sold me. It's been 7 years, 7,000 hours, right, Scott?
Yep.
And on their machine. So Caterpillar is so confident in their machines, they are actually passing along to their customers this warranty of 7 years, 7,000 hours, which when I buy a machine, that generally costs us about $20,000, right?
Yes.
Costs about $20,000. So, and that's for 5 years. This is a seven-year warranty on the machine, so I was pretty impressed with that. And nobody else does that. Everybody gives you a 1 year, but you pay for the rest. So it'd be actually a 4 year, you're paying for it, you get the 1 year. So, Scott, you have anything to add about the Caterpillar dozer?
No, I just wanted to add in that during that warranty period also, you know, if there's a machine failure, we come up here to fix it. The machine doesn't have to be transported back down. If the failure is so large that the machine cannot be repaired on site, we'll bring a loaner up so that you guys can keep the operation running here, and we'll cover the transportation for the machine to go back and forth and to swap out and everything else. You know, we're cats trying to focus on giving fixed upfront costs, no hidden surprises. You know, I mean, of course, the warranty doesn't cover maintenance or wear items. You know, but that it's a very good program. We've had it out for about a year now on some of the models we've been testing on. It's worked out really well for all parties involved.
So I have a question. This is a 2019?
Yes.
So is the warranty already,
the warranty
dinging away?
Starts the
day it comes here?
You deliver here.
Okay. Yep. Okay, just wanted to make sure.
These are Tier 4 final machines.
These are Tier 4 final.
Okay.
So, and also, we went back and forth with some lead time because we, so just to give you guys some idea, we have a responsibility under our permit to maintain this whole area off the blacktop. And we also, according to our post landfill agreements with the DEC, we have to maintain the roads up at the landfills, also in our best interest because we break springs on the only one tanker we have. So, in the past, we've always rented these machines. The board has been very generous with allowing me with the purchase of this low boy that we have, so we can move some stuff around. So this machine will not only help us and aid us into this property that we're going to be building on, but it's also going to allow us to have the flexibility of doing here and going to our landfills and doing the roads in the landfill. So kind of a long overdue thing. We should have had a long time ago, but I think what pushed the button on that was when we bought this property and we're talking about building on the property. It would be down the road, compliance great, but also a cost saver.
We want to do a lot of work in-house because we have the expertise with our employees or that our equipment operators. I have one question for you, though. Yeah. I watched a program probably about a month ago. Caterpillar built a huge plant in Russia. And the guy on this program was stating that they're importing, Russia is now sending, they're exporting their equipment to the United States. So is that true? Or do you guys know when you get a piece of equipment from Cat in, do you know where it was made?
Yes, we know exactly where it's made. There are some models
that we do source in from overseas. It's pretty much a handful of models. Neither one of these. The D5 dozer is built in Athens, Georgia, mm-hmm. and the CB54 roller is built in Minnesota. But there are some models that we do sell in the U.S. that are brought in from other countries, mainly China and India. I haven't seen any Russian ones over here yet.
Okay.
The reason behind that is because they're kind of niche models where if 70% of the market or greater is for those specific countries, we will build a factory, build the machines over there because the majority of them are staying over there. Okay. You know, we have more models excavator we sell in this area quite often that comes from China.
Okay. Yeah. I was sort of amazed that they were importing, you know, from the U.S. and we're importing from Russia equipment.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. I believe you. You know, I haven't seen that yet, but it might be something so new that I just haven't seen machines actually arrive yet. Because usually when they build a factory, it's usually about 2 or 3 years before we start to see their products over here.
Yeah, I've seen the factory that too. So.
Yeah. Okay.
And just so you guys know, we also have, we still have 06 excavators and loaders on site that we use every single day.
Yeah.
So they're 14 years old. So Caterpillar does stand by. But because of this, Caterpillar stands behind. That's why they're given these warranties, because they stand behind their machines. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, that warranty originated where Caterpillar and dealers were seeing failures at lower hours or even at mid-level hours. Uh-huh. And we went to Caterpillar and said, since there's no failures, and at a dealership level, you tell us to be standing behind it, let's put it out there where the public can see it and where the final end user can benefit from it.
Good. Thank you. Thank
Charlie, are these three purchases in our capital plan?
So these purchases came about when we started talking about, actually Fred asked me to look into it, and Tim Rose, when we started talking about doing some work here.
Echo Park.
Up in the composting area once it's done. And also, what's not in our capital plan is either the need to maintain our sites and the landfill. So we do need equipment to do that, and we have been renting that equipment to do that. As a matter of fact, I got equipment here that they're supposed to take out of here tomorrow that we $3,000 a month.
Matter of fact, Charlie, you just signed one of the checks for the rental.
I'm sorry?
You just signed one of the checks because some of the equipment that we rented just before the meeting.
Actually, it was really more cost-effective for us to buy this equipment and do a lot of this work in-house mm-hmm. with our people than to go out on prevailing wage and hire other guys, you know, and hire mm-hmm. or rent. Or even rent the equipment. So this actually is a cost savings mm-hmm. by buying this equipment. And we have it here, and we'll have it for another 10 years.
Also, when we did the capital plan, too, I just want everybody to know, Tim and I were very conservative with doing that capital plan because we didn't know what the tip fees were going to be at the landfills
mm-hmm. right.
or the transport fees were going to be. So we were really slim when we did that capital plan.
I was very nervous about that. So yeah, like Charlie said, when him and I sat down, we sort of picked and chose, and we were a little nervous. But it didn't come out too badly.
And that's why we didn't put the loader that we should have. Every 5 years we replace equipment. We didn't put the loader on the capital plan because we were so nervous. But then when we waited for Tim McGrath's forecast on numbers, we decided we could get that loader also, which should have been on the capital plan. But we didn't know where the prices were going to be. We were really nervous about that.
Any of that equipment use 50% or more for composting and recycling?
No.
No.
Okay. We could have got a grant, right?
Yeah.
The four wheeler we're going to use for animal. Tim, did you send an email with me about that four wheeler?
No. It's one of these I got to talk about.
I'll mention it to her later. So we do take advantage of that, though, Laura. Mm-hmm. So that 50%. So, but none of the stuff we use for that.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay.
So we're doing these two resolutions together? First one.
Yeah, first one is a call for a entertain a motion.
So moved.
Motion made.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Joanne. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion
aye.
Carried unanimously. Okay, Charlie, 2497.
So this is the roller, right? So when you got a dozer, you need a roller because you have to compact it. It's a vibrating roller. It's not a blacktop roller. It's for this, it's an application for the item four area that we have around the landfill and any work we're going to do in this compost.
Is it articulating?
It is articulating, and I also have spec sheets if you guys would like me to pass them around.
Is it yellow?
It is yellow.
It's a caterpillar.
That's the reason I couldn't second anything. I can't see it.
Would you like one of the spec sheets?
Say yay.
Would you like one of the spec sheets?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So,
the first one here is the roller, the second one is the dozer.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you have enough of those to give the other board members?
I only brought one copy.
Oh, okay.
I can get more. Right? I can get more.
We can just make copies.
Which one is which?
So you just have to mail.
This is the roller. And this is the roller.
Right.
The compactor.
Okay. So we are getting the roller to use with the dozer for site work. To make it a real fast story. So we can get him back.
How many people can ride in these?
You have to have a hard hat.
Just the driver. I have hard hats.
Kathy wants to take it for a spin.
I know, I just wanted to ride. First, I get a ladder so I can get up there.
And just so you know, they are closed cabs too, so the people that are operating it will be comfortable with air conditioning in the summer and also heat in the winter, not open cabs. The one we rent is an open one. Joe was pretty cold up at the landfill about a month ago, so these are closed cabs.
And if I may say one thing also, another benefit of the closed cab, especially for these two models of equipment, both these models can generate a lot of dust if it's dry out. Mm-hmm. So it's a sealed and pressurized cab, which means that there's a positive pressure inside the cab, the dust has no way to make it in. And I grew up running heavy equipment, we used to not worry about that 15 or 20 years ago, but there is a lot of bad things that can happen. Obviously, you're breathing in a large amount of dust every day in your job, and you know, CAT has a really good filtration system also that keeps all of those contaminants out of the cab, so it's safer for the operators.
Which is basically the same principle as an operating room in your hospital. It's under positive pressure, so everything blows out, so nothing.
Except for Vassar Hospital is having an issue right now with one of their operating rooms.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
So,
just check which one you're going into.
So everybody, just so you know, both these machines are on state bid. They represent $34,000. I know on the roller, I didn't look at the...
The other one was like $50,000.
$46,000. Yeah. So it represents a huge savings, yeah. So 36 and 46, I think it was.
Yeah.
So just so you know, that's one of the advantages of buying stuff off of state bid. So we are... within our compliance with the state comptroller's office, and there's also a huge savings for us.
Mm-hmm. Piggybacking, Charlie.
Yeah.
Okay, any more questions?
Yeah, I have for Tim DeGrasse.
Okay.
Tim, only because and it's been acknowledged that these two machines were not part of the capital plan, how does it impact your fund balance?
We're essentially taking it from last year's fund balance.
You're taking it from last year's fund balance.
That's what I used to calculate.
We couldn't afford 2020.
Because I originally told
but they are new.
Yeah.
So Charlie?
I told you not.
Yep.
So
on that money-wise, we're in good shape then.
Yeah, we're all right.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Motion made by Joanne.
Second
by Charlie. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carried unanimously.
There's a vote.
Okay. Resolution 2498, authorization for revision of compliance officer job description.
Okay.
I gave out, everybody has in their packet, a copy of the local law that was passed by the legislature in 2007, the recycling law.
Uh-huh.
There's a section in there about the compliance and the enforcement and so forth. And I have to tell you that I was really against this resolution because I feel it has to do more, we need to do more enforcement of recycling and so forth. Mm-hmm. And the executive director has alleviated my fears because the first item here enforces the county's flow control and recycling law. So we're going to look the person that gets hired will really look at the recycling law that was passed by the legislature in 2007 and really look at section 19, which is the enforcement of it.
That one doesn't look enclosed. Oh, in the back side.
I'm sorry to interrupt. The machine is offered both ways, so there's a picture of it.
Okay, got it. Okay. Sorry. That's pretty open. That convertible lower.
Okay, having said that, Tim, you want to speak to this resolution?
Sure. Okay, so I made a couple of changes to the job description from when from the old one. The first page really is, I guess, is my purview, is management, delegating the workload and so forth. The reason this has to come to you, what triggers this, is the salary. And the salary is $52,000 to $57,000. It was $50,000 to $60,000. I just narrowed it down a little more. Mm-hmm. If I wasn't changing the salary, it wouldn't even have to come to you guys. I would just fill the position, that's all. But since I was changing the salary, I changed some other things in here. And I did put in the first line, like Fred wanted, you know, that's going to be enforcing the recycling law, so we're going to step up enforcement there. I would like to advertise for this immediately, because we really need to get somebody on board. So hopefully if you authorize this today, this week, the advertisements will go out. It'll be posted on our website immediately. And if you know anybody that might be interested, let us know.
And the other thing that Tim assured me, that this person would work very closely with Angie in promoting the recycling, enforcing the recycling laws, et cetera, et cetera. So I look forward to having a really close working relationship between our recycling coordinator and this new compliance officer. There's a lot more we can do in enforcing solid waste, but there's also a lot we can do enforcing recycling, too, as predicated by the local law.
And also, too, on the request of Charlie Landy, we're going to add this new person to the agenda for the board meetings, so they can just talk about where we are with enforcement. I mean, they won't be able to get into specifics, so prior to the meeting, we'll talk to the attorney if there's some enforcement actions going on that can't be discussed, maybe in an open forum. But that will be run by Ken Gilligan. But in general terms, he can talk to the board about where they are, what she or he is doing.
And if anything specific comes up, we could enter executive session to discuss the specifics.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that would be Ken's call. That's up to him. So.
Okay. Any questions? I entertain a motion to.
So moved.
Okay. Motion made by Charlie, seconded by Joanne. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Yeah.
Motion carried
unanimously. You took out all the IT stuff, though, too.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. That would have been hard pressed to find someone who could do.
Okay. All business.
Go ahead.
Oh. Real quick before I forget, because this is really important for the board. Bart LaJudas, the engineering firm that the board retained to do the Eco Park. I had a phone conversation with him last week, Charlie and I. We're having another conference call on Thursday, I think, to wrap this thing up. So as the board requested last September, I think it was, because they did all their field work in October, November out here for the wetlands and so forth. They're going to come and do a presentation for the board. Okay, and so what that's going to show on this is what the board originally discussed, is the compost expansion, the road, a new admin building with this turning into an educational center. I know Lisa had an architect that came in and talked about green building of a new admin building, and a residential drop-off with an HHW building. Now, what the plan is this, because this is all conceptual at this point, they're going to basically present to you with traffic flows and how these things would work, all right, where the best locations for them are. One might be near the entrance, one might be far away. And they're going to come up with some estimated costs for the board. So you can decide at that point, say, okay, you know what, we want to go with the compost, but we don't want to go with the residential drop-off, or whatever the case may be. I did tell him, and I hope I didn't, I'm very careful about not overstepping my bounds, but I felt pretty safe in telling him, I think the whole board is on board, no pun intended, with the compost. I think everybody wants to go ahead with that. The new administration building and the residential drop-off, I'm not sure, and it's probably going to come down to costs, and you guys figure that out, what you guys want. So that's where we are. So if we can do this, Charlie and I have this conference call on Thursday. So hopefully we're going to have a Marchers meeting to do their presentation. So then you guys can take it from there. Decide what you want to do.
No, that's good that you're going to have them come before us, and then we can nitpick it then.
Yep.
You know, as to what we
want. As we will.
Yeah, Laura.
Bye.
Bye, Laura.
Take care.
Yeah, then you guys can decide whatever you guys want. Yeah.
Tim, just go back to the compliance officer resolution for a minute. Why does the financial impact show zero when, in fact, the salary is $52,000 to $57,000?
Because didn't we have one before?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's the same, almost the same price.
Yeah. The
actually,
same.
It's gonna be less.
I'm sorry.
It's actually gonna be less because the new person coming out will be making
less.
Well,
yeah, but I mean, but there should be an entry there, right?
I guess you could. You know, now that you brought that up, I just want to let the board know how I've always done this. Thank you for bringing that up, because it just reminded me of something I should mention to you. The salary is 52 to 57, and since I've been here, we've always been making the salaries about $5,000 from the low to the high. And what I've always done, and I'm just basing this on my past experience working for state government, working for county government, is I bring the person in at this particular case at 52,000, I give them a 6-month evaluation. And if they've done really well in the first 6 months, they go up halfway to, what would that be, 54.5, right? Yeah, 54.5. So they would go up after 6 months to 54.5. They would get a 1-year evaluation after that. And after doing well at that point, then they would go to the 57.
Job rate. That basically.
Yeah, that's what the state calls it.
That's what they call it.
That's what. Yeah, when I work with the state.
What you just described is the job rate.
Yeah, that's what it was called when I was with the state health department, job rate. So I'm glad you brought that up, Charlie, because I wanted to mention it to the board. That's just how I've always done it.
That's what I'm here for, Mr. Conley, Mr. Executive Director.
I just want to make 2 comments. I'm looking for input so we can finalize the evaluation, so we'll have it ready for next month. So we do have to do the evaluation on the 3 people with contracts, so I'm looking forward to finalize that.
You got mine, right?
I've got the one you gave me.
Yeah, and I gave an oral one earlier today, which I thought I had sent.
So send me if you got anything.
I wrote down some stuff. Yeah. Okay. I can do some more.
Okay. The other comment that I will make is that my feeling is our emphasis this year should be on siting a landfill, finding a landfill, thinking about how much money that's going to cost. So I'm sort of, in my mind, putting Echo Park on a back burner. I think the landfill was much more important. So,
In so much as the chairman of the county legislature mentioned it in his State of the County address.
And he knows how much it's going to cost.
He knows we
have to go back to the legislature, and the bond issue will probably be $30, $40, $50 million. Yes. Right.
I think that in itself is reason enough to move this thing, because it sounds like the legislature is ready and they understand the urgency, because Seneca Meadows is not going to be there forever.
Oh, I know that. So, okay.
Fred, I just want to say, just so you know, we didn't do the screener or the radial conveyor this board meeting, because we're going to go back up to bid for it. But when we do and we get this second screener, you know, the exposure to any odors and stuff is going to be at least half the time it used to be, at least.
And if we put it in the right location and cut the trees out, clear out the trees here and leave the buffer with the trees around it, and we'll cut down on it, even till
when we get to that point, we're going to be out there screening. Where it used to take us 8 hours to do the volume that we do, it's going to take us maybe 3 or 4 hours to do the volume that we do with this next screener, just so you know.
And the other comment I'd like to make is that I would encourage to the board to think about putting a GPS in all our vehicles, in all the agency vehicles now, so that, you know, we have a lot of trucks on the road, we have cars on the road, especially with this compliance officer on the road, you know, the executive director on the road. Yeah, I want to keep them honest. You know, that we should think, really think about putting GPS. All the county trucks have it now, and I just think for an emergency situation, we didn't have the fire out in New Falls where our one truck burned up. You know, at least we'd be able to see. God forbid if that happened along the highway, we'd be able to really at least locate the position of the truck and so forth. So I really would encourage the board to think about that. And I'm going to ask the executive director to get some prices for us on what it would cost, so the board will have some knowledge about that.
We already have them with the radios.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. So these new digital radios that I put in all the vehicles, including my vehicle, has the ability to be GPS.
Okay, but so, you need to screen, you set up a control.
Well, I think NYCOMCO would probably do that. That's who we have it through. I think, and if I were to guess, the county has the same system we do, so that's what they're doing also.
Okay.
So we already have
pinpoint the location of any vehicle.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of just using your cell phone to do it or a tablet. You know what I mean? Okay. The answer is yes.
Whatever.
So we're already there.
I just think it's important, just for safety reasons, that we just start thinking about that.
None of the cars. I mean, office vehicles. Like my truck has it, but the office vehicles don't have it.
Okay. Except the Prius. The Prius has a radio.
No, it don't.
So I think we should put
it. Oh, it does.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah, the Prius has a radio.
It does. Yep.
I think we should put it in all the vehicles. So we can track the engine. More than kidding, Edge. Okay, I've said my piece. Or anything else?
Zero waste. We have to work to zero waste, even if we have a landfill.
Right. But, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because otherwise we'll be filling that up too fast.
We want it to last forever.
Yeah.
Well, we should always look at zero waste, no matter, you know, what we have. We need to get down to that point in time.
Yeah.
I think zero waste. You have to look at the packaging industry. In other words, in the morning,
as
the packaging industry gets on board with us, in the morning when you sprinkle your Cheerios in the bowl and you're to the bottom of the box, you got to eat the box. That's zero waste.
It's fiber. It's that extra fiber. Yeah. It's also because Amazon right now, Amazon is actually sending bigger boxes because they're trying to they're speeding up everything. So if you order something, it comes in this huge box and it's like this little tiny little thing.
I've seen.
Yeah.
We got a little camera battery this big in the box.
Yeah. I've got something similar.
One other thing for old business.
They put all that bubble wrap that we're trying. The big boxes.
Tim, you want to give the board a rundown on where the plan is now? It's been forwarded to the DEC.
Oh, the solid waste management plan.
Yeah.
It's been forwarded to the DEC, and they're reviewing it.
Okay, so and what do you figure happens after that? It's got to, ultimately, if there's no changes.
The way it'll work is if it comes back, and they've been reviewing it all along, so hopefully there's no changes on this at this point. So if it comes back to us, and there's no changes or very insignificant...
I'm
laughing at something he said.
And there's insignificant changes, then it can go right to the legislature to be ratified. But if there's any major problems, which I honestly don't see how that could be, but if there are, it obviously would have to come back to this board for you guys to accept that. So it's in their hands. It could be there for a couple of months. I don't know.
It only took 6.5 years last time. So I mean,
6 years and 4 months.
Mrs. Kelly.
6 years and 4 months.
I know that. I can back of my hand. Tim just reminded me too. There's a resolution that I think we want to bring before the board this month about our procurement policy and purchasing from women-owned businesses and minority-owned businesses. So it's something that I think it's in there, but it's very vague. And Tim brought it to my attention, and we talked about it, and I think it's good we clarified it a little better. Right, Tim?
Yeah, it's going to be a part of... We have a list of stuff that is exempt from our procurement policy, like sole source provider and emergency situation. So Angie and Melinda is doing the one grant, and they hired off of the New York State Certified, correct? A vendor who is a woman-owned business, and that got me to thinking that instead of just doing it for the grant requirements, I think it's something that we should put in our procurement policy for the agency as a whole.
The state already has that, in there.
Yep, and we should add that for ours.
Okay, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Is there any reason why we should go into executive session that you can think of?
Thanks very much.
Do you want to?
No.
Okay. Motion to adjourn.
Yes. Yes?
Yes.
Second.
And my feet are moving.
All in favor, signify by saying aye to adjourn.
Aye.
Aye.
Charlie, I think we discussed the land.